that we have lost this, the committee, the ad hoc committee on matters relating to ex-mine workers' union. The business of this ad hoc committee today. Welcome everybody. Welcome the department. I recognize the DP from health. And your entourage, labor, as you have, or as you have represented. If we can start by way of introduction, I would want members to introduce themselves. Where do we start? Do we start by me? I would start by from me. My name is Zunani Sonto. I happen to be in the cockpit of this ad hoc committee. Let's go to my right. My right. No. Right in terms of right hand. I know Baba Stanley would have problems with that as a communist.
My name is Mukesh Ratham. I'm a legal advisor to the committee.
I'm Tadeo Adikari, also legal advisor, because my colleague has to run off to another meeting in a short while.
I'm Momalim Koi. I'm a member of this ad hoc committee from the ANC.
Thank you very much. I'm sure other members are going to be joining us in the process, but we will not wait for them. The business as it stands in the notices that we will... I suggest we start with the Department of Health. I suggest we start with the health department, not because I'm intimidated by the larger presence of the Department of Labor. The entire department is here, but it's just that because of the business that is before us, we know better about the Department of Health. The information that we have received so far is tilting us to want to start with the Department of Health. Baba Mselif, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members, for the opportunity to address this matter in this committee. May I say, Chairperson, that the Department of Health, because of its responsibility and oversight over the Office of the Compensation Commissioner for Occupational Diseases, take the major responsibility on this particular matter. That commission actually is the one that is responsible at the moment for the payout to the ex-mine workers, and therefore has been perhaps at the receiving end of engagement to the ex-mine workers union on this matter. It's for this reason that we have brought Mr. Mashiku, who is actually going to the commissioner, the compensation commissioner, who is going to then address us on the historical as well as the current situation with regards to the matter at hand. And after that, I'll just add one or two things before I hand over back to the chair. So if I can hand over to Mr. Mashiku.
Thanks, DG, and thanks, Chairperson. Let me start by just briefing the members of this House on the responsibilities of our office. It's called Compensation Commissioner for Occupational Diseases. We normally call it CCOD. So we're there to compensate miners and ex-miners who have contracted brain diseases as a result of working at mines and controlled works. So what happened with this Eastern Cape ex-miners is that these people were receiving money from the former Transkei government on a monthly basis, but they were certified to be sick by the Department of Health. So, and then they were on average awarded this amount of between 600 rand and 1,700 rand. So they were receiving the money on a monthly basis up until the money, their balances are finished. So what happened is that after 1994, there were problems in the Umtata Eastern Cape. So then that's where the CCOD started to be involved, because monies were transferred back to Johannesburg to the CCOD, and records were also transferred to the CCOD, though they were incomplete. And then after receiving complaints from the ex-miners, we started having discussions with the miners and the provincial government in the Eastern Cape. And then the task team was formed by the then Premier of the Eastern Cape in August 2002. And then the team was chaired by the government employees from the provincial department of the Eastern Cape, legislature. And then we happen to be members of the task team and also the provincial Department of Health, Chamber of Mines, provincial Department of Labor, ex-mine workers unions. There were various unions represented in the task team, and also the House of Traditional Leaders and the National Union of Mine Workers. So the union that is complaining in the Eastern Cape was also they were also members of the task team, but they walked out of the team when they were having some dissatisfaction. But we had to continue the project. And then in 2003, January, we started capturing some information from the old paper files that were brought to the CCOC. And the list of 18,500 ex-miners was compiled. And then the task team had made some recommendations based on the total number of miners that were on the list, and also considered the amount of money that we had, the 54 million. So they recommended that each member of the, all the ex-miners on the list be paid an amount of 2,700 across the board, and that was supposed to be a one-off payment. And then in March 2003, the Minister of Health approved the recommendations of the task team. Then the task team went ahead and published names, published names, and then these names of the ex-miners were grouped and put at hospitals in the Eastern Cape and some clinics, labor centers. And then we were going to use Standard Bank branches in the province because we had agreed with them. And then the reasoning behind that was that the ex-miners, when they, after completing forms, then they would open bank accounts because we pay them electronically through the bank. And the Standard Bank agreed that because these people are old and then they had to open bank accounts without the deposit. And these messages were advertised on local radio stations and local newspapers. And there was also a toll-free number where people would phone and verify or double-check their names on the list. So in July 2003, we deployed the CCOD staff to the various regions in the Eastern Cape. And then they spent 3 months in the province. They would spend 30 days at one region before proceeding to another. And then when we started the ex-mine workers union, because they were no longer part of the task team, they were not happy and started disrupting. They tried to change beneficiaries away and took some application forms from our staff, and but police were called in to come and assist. And thereafter they got the court interdict where they said we should stop because what we were doing according to them was illegal. And the state attorney's office in the Eastern Cape, King of Jamestown, assisted us in dealing with the matter, and it was dealt with successfully, and we continued with the compensation, training and compensation of the workers. Now, amongst others, the union was saying that their concerns were mainly that there are some monies that were not included in the 54 million. They talked about the 10 million, which was paid out by Chamber of Mines in 1976. And they also wanted interest for the 54 million rand. And they also demanded that the in-laws should be paid if the ex-miner had passed away. And they also wanted the sister ex-miner to be excluded from the list because they argued that the guardians never worked at the mines. Well, they were also not happy with the manner in which the 2,700 was calculated. But after this court battle, then we continued and traced the people and compensated them. So in January 2004, we involved nurses of hospitals, occupational health nurses in some hospitals, in the identified hospitals in the Eastern Cape. And then during that period, the task team was dissolved because they felt that they've accomplished their mission. And the hospitals continued to help the CCOD in tracing the people, meaning that we trained them on the completion of forms and then the list, etc. So forms would be couriered to our office on monthly basis because our office is situated in Johannesburg, Bloemfontein, for processing payments. So in May, June 2005, the union came with their members at our offices in Bloemfontein, and then they had some sit-ins because they said their members also want money. Then we started talking to them, and then they agreed to tell their members to start applying because there's nothing they could do about changing the amount of 2007 that they paid to people. So then we found that some of their members were actually appearing on our records, and then they started applying and payments were made accordingly. And then after that, they also said no, that was not enough. They invited, they said we should come down to the Eastern Cape because there could be some people who were not traced. So they themselves identified some areas where there was a need for us to go and help the people. And we did this jointly with them. That was in September 2005. I think we spent about 4 weeks in the province and those areas. And they were also helping us in controlling the queues and helping the people to fill in application forms. And I mean, but thereafter, there were marches of people transported to the union buildings for various reasons, where they still mentioned the 54 million also as an issue. And then up to date, we have paid over 11,000 X minus, and an amount of over 30 million has been paid to them. So there's a balance of about 20 million, and but the process is ongoing. If people come forward and say we appear on the list, we verify and check and help them and pay them. I think that's all I can say for now.
Thank you, Shepherd. Perhaps from our side, we'll just these are just cold facts.
Thank you, Gigi. Can I thank Mr. Mandejo? Because I know you are a Gigi. You know how to control proceedings. That's why you are just grabbing. I think you said you were going to add when he finishes, and then we'll take it from there. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I assume that was the flow, not taking over the process. But just to say, from the what has been given by Mandejo is an outline of the actual process to touch what has happened to this matter. But in between this, there has been a lot of toing and froing of a more, what I might call, political engagement. During the processes throughout these years, what we have seen is that the at certain intervals, the miners or the leadership of this ex-miners group simply passes people from Eastern Cape to wherever they think they are going to take them. I think they started as a CCOD and they moved there, and then they moved on to the union building and sat outside there. In fact, on that occasion when they were outside ground of the union building, one woman who was actually very a bit old and ill died on that day as a result of exposure to the elements. In fact, we had our people assisting them there. And at every occasion when they have brought in the people there, we have, as the Department of Health, have taken the view that first and foremost we must make sure that those people are looked after. Because there are many of them are old people, some of them very sickly. Some of them actually come to those places, being told that they are going to collect their money, and so they sit and wait in the rain and sleep outside. In fact, we had to move them from the union building to the city hall of Pretoria in order to get shelter. They have also demanded that we then pay for the transport that they have used to actually bring those people there to deal with this matter. The presidency itself got involved on one occasion at the time when there was a union building, and we had to get officials from both the Department of Labor and the Department of Health to actually go through each one of the people that were there to register them, to
evaluate them and to do all sorts of things as the agreement that they had reached with the presidency as such. But the issue seems never to die because we reached agreement, as Mashiko has said, when they were at the CCOD, there was an agreement that the CCOD would go to the Eastern Cape to register more people. And so that was done. Subsequent to that, they followed up with more groups that said these people must be registered. And it centers around the issue of the payment of beneficiaries who are said to be in-laws. Now, in-laws in the African context is a very big extension and very difficult to prove in some instances. Many of them then couldn't even indicate what the relationship is in terms of the identification of beneficiaries. So that issue continues to be an issue for some time. But as Ms. Mashiko has said, the payment of beneficiaries who can prove that they are actually ex-mine workers or related blood relatives ex-mine workers have actually been processed and paid. When they actually argued that there was a delay in patient payment, we put people to fast track the process, and the process was fast tracked. So our sense of the situation is that there is an element, and we're convinced that there's an element of abuse of the people because of their plight in that situation by some of the leaders there. We believe that those leaders are actually getting people either to pay for membership of this with a promise that they'll actually get their money this way, or even to pay for the transport that they use, because we have not been able to establish where they get the money to get people from Umtata and those areas in four or five very luxury coaches and Kumbi to actually drive all the way to Pretoria and sit there. Well, the answer from our side is that we have not paid for any of those. We only provided them with food and shelter when they were there, because it's people, human beings, that we thought really are our mothers and fathers, and they needed to eat and to be looked after. So we brought in nurses and doctors and some kids to look after them. But we have refused to actually pay for the transport costs that they actually incur all the time, and you don't know where they get it from. So that's the situation as we understand it.
Thank you very much, DJ. Members, we've got a limited time to interact with the presentation. Welcome, comrades. So on my far left, I don't know what's happening, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay, it's your chance, members, to interact with the presentation. Start from my right, I'll go down.
Okay. Thank you, and thank you for the presentation, which is making awesome.
Can I find out something before we interact with this presentation? Is it not appropriate that both presentations are made?
Then we, or would you prefer that you interact with this one, with the same president? Because this might be different aspects when we get into specificity. Okay, let's take out.
Thank you, Shepard. I think this makes a little. It brings a little light to my mind, because I couldn't understand about the
4 million that is already gone, with only 2,700 papers. And with the number that was said was paid out to. My question that I have is the union was saying at first they were representing South African, the whole of South Africa. So what I want to know, because I get only Cisgate and Transgate, actually where are these members from? Are they only from Transgate or Cisgate? Where are they from? My other question is
No, thank you very much, Mr. President. I just want to welcome the team from the commission. I've got some few questions. The first question is only 54 million. You said that the remainder now is 20 million. 11,000 people have been paid off, if I get it correct. Do you still have the list of the remaining people that are supposed to be paid up? Because you said it's 18,000. That is the first one. The second question, are these people that you are registering now supposed to be part of this 54 million? Because the problem is that you're saying that you are registering people. Are you registering new people other than those who are not affected and then given 50 million? 54 million. That is the second one. The third one, why the 54 million was transferred from the Transkei, let's say from the former Transkei government to the national office? Because that is where you said the problem started. Because the administration was taking place in the Eastern Cape in the Transkei region. But after 1994, it went back to the head office. So why that situation? Why was not it transferred to the Eastern Cape provincial government?
Can we check to those few so far?
Okay. That's fine. On the first question, the specifics of the issues that we are grappling with the mine workers union relate to the former Transkei and Transkei mine workers, because they were the kind of fund that was actually meant for them. When they speak as a union, obviously they would argue that they are now representing ex mine workers in general, wherever they are, because they are trying to actually say they are representative union. They are not just representing a section. But on this specific issue, they are actually representing those ex-mine workers. And that's why you've never seen any other mine worker from any other place as part of this grouping, whether it's cities or whatever. They all come from the former Transkei region. That's on the first question. on the question of the original list of 18,000 people or so is still there. That's the list that people are checked against. So when they come forward, there was a list of people that was compiled who would qualify for this. So when they come forward and they fill in the form, they say, now I'm claiming the amount of money, because the original thing was to determine who the people were, where they were, who the beneficiaries were, so that you could determine how to actually deal with the amount of money that was there, and the division to 2,700 rand. So that list is the list that is used to actually then deal with individuals and their descendants, because the descendants, that is the dependents, would come in and say, my father was actually an ex-mine worker. Here's the proof that this was my father. So you check against the list whether that father was actually part of that list, and then register this new person. In fact, register for this time relates to paying them. It doesn't relate to expanding the list. It only relates to really paying them to actually deal with this thing. So that's the part. Why the matter actually went to national and not the provincial government? There is no structure in the provincial government that would relate to this labor matter. The compensation, part of the compensation processes were all amalgamated and the national competence. Even the Department of Labor is called original presence, the original presence, but not necessarily that in the province, in government, there is any labor or compensation or responsibility constitutionally. So it had to actually be a compensation body that actually deals with the matter, and the appropriate body that works with the mining in this area particularly, of related to matters of health, was actually the compensation commission. So it's a constitutional function in relation to that. The provincial government didn't have the responsibility of the mandate, I think.
Honourable Chair, perhaps I can just add one thing. Although it's called the Eastern Cape Union or the ex-miners union, we could never find a union of that nature registered. And I think the legal advisors can also check. In terms of the definition of a union, a union must represent members but must also receive certain fees. They never received any fees per se. So we never could trace that there is in fact a legitimate union registered as an ex-miners union.
Thank you very much. Want another round? Okay.
Thank you, Chief. I think I have two for now. When we had presentations here last week, and some of the presenters were arguing about the requirements, particularly for dependents and so forth. There was one big term that it was used here. The man said, your means test or requirements do not understand or do not talk to the health determination of African society. And that gives a problem for you to really find beneficiaries. For an example, maybe it doesn't talk to someone that is born out of wedlock and doesn't use the surname of the deceased. And that becomes a serious problem to find the beneficiary. That is one of the questions. The second one, if this matter is a matter of 54 million, and then we have managed to trace some of the people and we are waiting for other beneficiaries to come and claim. Now, what is the fuss between the Department of Health and the ex-mine workers union? What is an issue now? Because the issue that you have been relating to them is a 54 million issue. Now you are resolving that particular question. You are waiting for others now to claim, legitimate. So what is the fuss now?
If the DGA could just let us to the same question. In your view as the department, do you think the book is closed? Should you finish disbursing the remainder of the 54 million? Would you suggest that the book is closed? I'm glad to get the registration aspect of the union. Because for your information, the union, when it came to us, it wanted to claim to be ex workers union, something like that. When we brought it back to miners, they said, no, no, no. We're not only representing miners, we're representing the unemployed. So we had to, we had to put our foot down on that one. I think it's empowering. The point that the gentleman is raising is empowering. The other question that I thought I had, did you left on it, because I was going to ask you, how far do you think you are going to take the story to now, related to whether you think, in your view, the book is closed now? Should you finish distributing fairly and accordingly the remainder of the 54 million? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. On the third question of our understanding of African society, when Mashiko made his input, we did allude to the fact that the issue at hand was more the in-laws, because that was a very, very huge issue. The beneficiaries that can be proven to be directly of blood descendants to the mine worker, regardless of what their status is, are not included in our process. If they can prove that they are so-and-so is the father, we don't say because you are of another surname and you are born out of wedlock, not descendants out of marriage, but descendants as long as they can prove they are descendants. So in our view, we haven't excluded the understanding of what might happen in our society in relation to who descendants are. The question is, how do they actually provide the necessary evidence? And in fact, even there, we've bended over backwards to actually try and be flexible about the orders of proof. So we don't think there is a problem there. Therefore, the question is, what is at issue? We think the committee might help us find out, because we have tried to find out several times, at different times. You know, we think the issue is resolved. Then we wake up the next morning, there's a busload or two of people who are already coming to the city in one place or the other. We engage with them and they say, today, we're not really interested in you. You've done your job. We want to discuss with the Department of Labor. And then they raise new issues, but the initial issue they come with is this one. Hence this issue that they seem now to be growing into a bigger thing, you know, from the ex-mine workers of that corner to ex-mine workers to ex-workers. So in our view, really, there was a very clear task. 54 million, how to distribute it, establish a task team, agree, pay. So all those steps have been taken. We are now paying. Once the 54 million is exhausted, the payment on our part and all the beneficiaries would have been looked at, except those that can be paid. The chapter is closed on this specific task of distributing 54 million. Beyond that, that's why the answer to what actually is an issue. We don't believe there's any further discussion about what happened to the other monies that they had and all sorts of other things that come into that. The payment of other beneficiaries, such as in-laws and so on. Those matters are closed.
Thanks, you know, as a union, those representatives are making a claim that as a union they represent all the people who worked in the mine and got affected or who got diseases that relate to the type of work that they were doing in the mine. How would you contest that that claim, given the context of this this story and its history?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just wanted to ask about the number or the when we were closing up last in our meeting last week, we had a delegate that came from Natal who were claiming that they were the Natal ex mine workers. I just want to know how related are you with that group? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For legal purposes, but Schmidt is a trainer.
Yeah.
Sorry for being late.
Okay.
Just three issues which I picked up being here. Now, one is a pure sake of interest. One is, how does one prove you're a descendant? Because, A, either by virtue of DNA, which you've got to go to a doctor and prove, and you need the DNA of the father, etc. B, I suppose it's obtaining a will which you've been named as the son being A, B, and C, or the daughter. But how does one allow proof of people being descendants? This is an interesting, because that seems to be one of the issues at stake here. Then secondly, isn't the Mine Workers Union more an association in legal terms? More an association than a union. But then thirdly, just as a matter of interest, how is the balance to be dealt with after? There's surely going to be a balance, because if you have problems trying to determine who the descendants are, there is going to be a balance. What are you going to do with a balance, quite honestly? Thank you.
And the interest.
And the interest every year.
Maybe it's also related to another case. What is the time frame? I think maybe you might be having an idea now that perhaps by 5 December this should be finished. And then we can contest other things after that. So what is the time frame that you see as possible?
Okay.
Back
to you, DJ.
Well,
Your team can deal with whatever question that you might want to share.
Yes, definitely. Let me deal with the one question then, or no, the two questions, and then the team will deal with the others. The issue, first let me say, on the issue of all businesses, we have a system in the country that deals with the occupation-related diseases. Particularly in mining, the two bodies under the Department of Health, the what is called the MBOD, the Medical Board for Occupational Diseases, which does assessment of all workers that actually get diseases as a result of their occupation, particularly in the mine, TB in particular. That body does the work, and it sits next to the CCOT, which then does the compensation in terms of the processes that are in place with the mines. And the miners, the mines contribute to a fund for that purpose, for ex-mine workers or mine workers that are affected as a result of mine dust. So, there may be a union that then organizes those people for one reason or the other, maybe to pressure the mines to add more money and compensation. We wouldn't, the right of association. But individuals would go through a process which is very clearly defined and assessing whether the disease is related to the work in the mine. And then once that is certified by our MBOD and its structure, then they pass it on to the CCOD compensation side, which also does its final verification before paying out. That's a standing, not specific to the 54 million, it's a standing thing that is done almost That's their work, maybe, right now. So in that case, those diseases that are related to the mind, particularly TB, which is occupation specific because of the mind worker. The broader question of compensation of workers about the other diseases, labor will expand on that.
Okay. After how long am I alleged, in fact, after I've left the mind, am I alleged to claim?
As long as the medical examination can prove that whatever you are suffering from now can be linked directly to the mind. So there's no time frame there. Because diseases can emerge 20 years later. As long as it could actually be linked to the fact that you got that.
No, my brother, you got a point there.
So my body is this point. Anyway, so
let me just immediately make a follow-up to say, therefore, can we say legally there's no prescription to put in a case?
In what way?
In the sense that it doesn't matter that you discover this disease 20 years after you've left the mind, because, you know, in law there are certain sort of prescriptions that you have to take legal action within so much, yeah. Now, I want to understand it clearly to say, in this case, there is no prescription whatsoever.
Of course, the likelihood of TB in particular emerging almost 20 years later, the chances are very limited. It would be possible, but the chances are limited. So, because of the nature of the disease, there's no legal, you know. The only test is that the doctor must certify that there's a link between this disease and you having worked in the mind. In other words, that's where you got the disease from.
Which can eventually stretch the 54 million.
No. The 54 million is a separate matter altogether. It's about a fund that is specific to a certain group of people. This one, anybody from any part of South Africa and the social or what was an ex-mine worker has the right to come back and say, I have TB. And that will not have anything to do with the 54 million. They will not be paid from the 54 million. It's a compensation of an established fund.
That particular
area. Exactly. Yeah. And the Natal ex-mine workers, we have not met that group. Maybe you have.
You know, when we started with the task team, there were people calling themselves Natal ex-coal workers union, and they were represented by a gentleman called Patrick Nyampu. He comes from King William's Tower. So, I don't know the name, it's called Natal, but they are based in King William's Tower.
They are operating from advice.
One would say anything is possible because those people came from King William's Town to represent people not in King William's Town but in Natal. Okay, other questions? I don't know whether they were touched on.
Alright, there's a question on the dependents. According to the act that we're using, we compensate the widows or the children of the deceased ex-minors. So if those people are no longer existing, the act allows us to compensate people who are financially depending on the late ex-minor. But now there has to be proof. Like currently, the normal compensation that we do, we require people to provide to us the proof from the maintenance court that I could be Mashiko, but my father is Matebula and I was receiving maintenance at the court. So we also accept the social worker's report and also
recommendations from the court.
With regard to the issue of an association, I think maybe the people in labor are more qualified to actually determine the status of the union. I don't know what the actual definition is in relation to the labor relations there. So they might comment on that. And the time frame, in other words, when do we think this process is finished? As long as there are people that can come to claim defendants, there's no way we can close that chapter. That's why it's kept in a body like this, that is permanently for compensation. But there will be a point when no one comes at all at some point in the future, and then we'll have to look at other options. But in principle, the process is open to defendants. And, you know, we can still continue to find ways to prove. So it's not easy to say. We have a closing date, by the way, if you haven't appeared by that time. We haven't reached that point in our thinking, because we are still trying to. But once we feel that there's a sense that we really are finding a problem in relation to finding this defendant, then, of course, funds of that later, then revert back to the state.
That's the answer, honorable members. What you're asking, what will become of the 54,000?
The balance, yeah.
54 million. should the list be exhausted?
Yeah.
Just honorable chair, I think this is a equitable point now. By now, the 54 million is not there anymore.
No.
Much, something like 20 million. At this point in time, and it's dwindling as we draw it down by people coming forward. The question of the time frame as addressed by the DC, I think we'll have to have at least a year to go by, calendar or financial year, with no claims, and then we can start considering what to do with it. And there is a process prescribed by government on what should be done with unclaimed money. But eventually it reverts back to the state.
The last question would be on this. If claimants, if you have exhausted that amount, what is this word? Legitimate claimants come to the fore, what are you going to do?
We were hoping that would not arise in the situation. But if it arises, then we would have to look at it with the government and see how to draw on other resources to deal with that matter, because then it would be a miscalculation of an administrative nature. So administrative errors have to be corrected by government. The government would take responsibility for that. But we suspect that it won't arise.
Ever know? Thank you very much, DG. Thank you very much, Health Department. I think that will be it. You've taken your time, and members have also exhausted the questions that they wanted to ask. You may remain with the proceedings if you are interested in hearing what Labor Department is going to be saying, but if you so wish, you may leave. Thank you very much. Serume. Thank you very much. Tony, your writing here is not very nice. You were nearly a doctor. As a leader of the delegation, you will see how you handle the briefing or the presentation. The good thing about it is that you've arranged your tactics now, given the art of questioning that we had with the Department of Health. But the floor is yours, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sir President and Honorable Members. Sir President, our involvement with ex-mine workers started in 2002. And I need to admit that we worked very closely with the Department of Health in this particular matter. In most of the meetings that were called by the health mine workers in Pretoria, both groups used to attend those meetings. As a department, I need to indicate that we did everything in our power to help the health mine workers. And as we speak, even today, we still have some engagement with them. On the 28th and 29th of April 2005, we did present them with a workshop on how the unemployment insurance fund operates and also the compensation fund. We also have regular briefings with them in the Eastern Cape. Chairperson, I would also want to ask my two colleagues, Mr. Motiba. He has been involved with the ex-mine workers for some time. He is a senior executive manager in the Department of Labor. But I'll also wish Mr. Mafu, because he deals with them in the Eastern Cape, to also make a presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think your team is at liberty to take it as it comes.
Thank you, Chairperson and members of the committee. I think one would have to go back to the presentation as made by the Department of Health, just to make an indication that the tactics that they were talking about, which were established in the Eastern Cape, the Department of Labor was represented in those tactics by the provincial executive manager. That is our senior manager responsible for both unemployment insurance as well as compensation. And at some point it came to where because of this movement, they would engage the Department of Health and subsequently come to us. When we became aware of excessively so of the 54 million, it was after they had moved out of the task team that was established. And then ultimately they were beginning to throw this challenge at our doorstep. And we were able to clearly indicate that in terms of compensation, there are two types of compensation. So the issue about the 54 million then had to be dealt with within the context of the task team and with the commissioner as they indicated. However, making an indication that if it is compensation in respect of the injuries sustained in the industry, in the industry, other than the mine, then the Department of Labor is responsible in that regard. But then, because of the nature of the formation, it's ex-mine worker, so effectively it becomes diseases. And that's where we left it. Although the experience since 2004 has been that the goalposts are constantly shifted. One in the sense that when we meet them, we'll get one list. And then the next time we meet them, it's another list. And probably this is because they are continuously converting. I think the benefit here is that when they bring any list to us, we attend to it. And that by itself then gives them the benefit that they are able to go to those people who have listed with them. That yes, your contribution has helped that we are able to assist you. And then to some extent then the list increases. Whenever they can pass, they are able to get more members to add on their list. When you go through the records that we have, this grouping has expanded beyond all sectors. So it's normal specific to mining, as they have claimed. However, as far as 2006 is December when they had the state of city at the union building, together with the Department of Health as well as Social Development, we tried as much as we could to ensure that we help within the confines of the law. I need to indicate that as of the last lift in 2006, December, we received well over 2,500 claims. And the challenges are ranging around, in some instances, beneficiaries, in some instances, dependents of beneficiaries. And then you always find this list crossing between health in terms of occupational compensation. But then because of the working relationship that we have developed, we always refer any claims that are related to the occupational to the relevant office so that we deal with what is specific to the department. Just to make an indication that of the last list, as I said, of 2006, we found that the authentic benefits were only 197 pesos. The rest, in terms of our law, we always expect that people must bring documentation. And over this period of time, unfortunately, no documentation is forthcoming. As Mr. Thruwe has indicated, currently we have a task team in the province which is established precisely to continuously deal with this challenge. And every time it's accusation after accusation to the extent that in the last meeting that we had with the mine ex-mine worker in Bizana when there was the people's parliament there, we made an indication for them that we are committed to continue working with them, but unfortunately we are constrained in terms of that if outside of the public. So that is the far we are so far. And as I say, there is a committee established in the province. We have moved from almost village to village as the Department of Health has done, so that we try and ask these people who are on the list as they come forward so that we are able to pay them. One challenge that we sit with is the fact that because we are talking about acting as a union, where we have been able to establish the people who claim, and we have letters, in one instance we actually wrote letters to individual people to say to them, this is the outcome of your claim. The unfortunate thing is, whenever we have those letters, the first set of letters we gave them to the union in good faith, with the hope that they would deliver them to their members. Unfortunately, that was not the case. In 2006, when they came to the union building, we did the same thing, because now these people were there at our disposal. We had a meeting facilitated by the Human Science, the Human Rights Commission. And after extensive discussion with the Human Rights Commission, we then agreed that because most of the claimants are either out of the jurisdiction in terms of prescribed by the law that you should apply within 6 months, there's a provision for condemnation. So we wrote letters which were explaining the outcome, but because of the behavior of the leadership of the union, we then agreed under the auspices of the Human Rights Commission that these people are accessible to us now, they were in a hall, we are going to give them the letters individually. Unfortunately, the following day when we had to then proceed with that, leadership of the union disowned the agreement. Our sense was that they had a feeling that because now we're beginning to talk to the actual beneficiaries, it is going to disempower them in terms of whatever they promised. To that extent, we avoided consultation that is not there. We had already started issuing letters, but we did. And I think the Human Rights Commission has an experience also in dealing with this grouping. We have come to the conclusion that we will continue serving these people as long as it's within the confines of the law. However, we have challenges with the leadership of the union. What worries us most is that I think they ledge on the vulnerability of the people they are leading. It's the elderly, and to some extent they are able to gain access to them, and they try as much as they can so that we should not have direct access to those people. But as I say, we are committed to ensuring that we serve them, and the task team is there on the ground to serve. We have always made an indication. We have labor centers in the Eastern Cape, to the extent that every labor center has this list, so that when the people come forward, we are able to look at their cases. That's the part I can report on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other information?
I am Christmas, and I'm coming from Eastern Cape. I am the head of Sport Management Competition within the province. I want to say that almost my qualification, but of the fact correct, I was part of the task team, and that report is correct. We went to the task team with Mr. Norman Selleck. He walked out. Reason being, there was no matter could be paid to him because he never qualified. The second point is that they wanted to dispatch the money by themselves, not the government, because they said that the headman will come. They want the funds handed over to them so that they can begin to own the members. The other issue is that, as Mr. Mochire said, that raising other issues, the issue of food patterns, the issue of what pension, the issue of death benefits, the issue of process. When we met them in Pizana with President P. Mr. Dingan, they also raised to say that they want also food patterns, they want the process and other issues. I must say that ever since the new government took power in 1994, as a province has been filled with youth ex-Mavericans in terms of assisting them, particularly for IF and also for conversation. In 1996, he was still with the NUM, Mr. Roman said. We worked together all over from Matakai, we're on national television, inviting whoever will never get the benefit. There was infighting within the NUM. Fighting over the money that was given, several of mine to know for protest. It's not just going to run or to think about protest. So it's set aside for the NUM to establish this ex-Mandeka journal to say that NUM, you are not serving our interests because that's dealing with people who are currently employed. You forget about the unemployed or the ex-Mandeka. The issue of Mr. Nyang, who Mr. Nyang is based in insurance car, they work in Debek to Nako. And when some of them were coming from Africa, so they start to say, you know, which is also rival from that was of the Tonomazel. So they're for the same client. But they are fighting over who's going to be in charge of this particular union. So Mr. Nyapu established his own economic control, and Mr. Mazel established his own economic control. On the 16th, there was another new group which was also part of the group which was at Mazela, which is called the Lusiki Siki Integrated Community Development Program, which is also an NGO, also addressing this issue of economic development. There was another NGO which is also in late grade, I don't know the name now, but it's also dealing with the same issue. All these unions, they charge people money. If you become a member, you pay money. So it's not only about helping the client. They also even also build their own revenue, you know. So there's a competition over the client. The on the side of my cases, the people left like 1987, they won't talk to them until 1992, 1992. They don't qualify. Well, private all over some guy. We have to trust him, I work with him, I led the one of them I trust him. And Mr. Mazum is trust him for the union. We hired the Kumbi, we spent about 2 weeks visiting each and every town of Mazankai, trying to access all the clients that they will qualify. We have assessed all those things and retained only 9 people. And those people, it's the people which money we were retained because we never claimed, and we retained those people. The bulk of the people don't qualify, because in terms of an act, in terms of the audit of 2002, you were expected to apply within 9 months. In terms of the new law, we have to apply within 6 months. Yes, of course, if we've got a valid reason, we may look into claims, but what I want to say on a grand scale today is that we have got one level there. They don't qualify. They keep on bringing in new lists to say, look at these people. But how to begin to look at such a claim from what you last read 20 years ago? You know the law says must apply within 6 months in terms of the law. The other issue, as they say, that the issue is political. Because when they were the mines back of 1987, they left the mines, they were not showing any documents, so they were never paid. They feel that the AC government needs to intervene and also amend the law. In fact, when we met in Kizana, there was a view that Honorable MP, Mr. Dingane, that he needs to talk to MP to try to amend the act so that they can qualify. Because instead of the current act, they don't qualify, so people will never apply. Again, I must mention that in Kizana, Mr. Mazda mentioned that whenever he calls the Secretary of Labor, they're always there, we still work with him. But the issue at hand is that we don't pay them because they don't qualify. With regard to the issue of the compensation fund, we are working with the Department of Health nationally, Rail and Usual, Department of Northern Energy, and also several of mine. I'm told that today there's a meeting between the Department looking at those issues of the economic union. And must remember, as it's been said earlier on by Uti, the Department of Health, and also Mr. Masejo. If you talk to the church, they only tell the fund of them. So they are making confused to think that labor must also deal with the issue of the system. This is issues also beyond that, the fund of labor. It's not within our ambit, it's the fund of the issue. I think I must stop there. Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you very much. I think that would you save that for answers? Yeah. When we take our time in asking you questions, then you would just leave that. Okay, members, that is the briefing. Let's interact with it. Any question? Mama?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my question to the Labor Department is that I just wanted to know about the other people from other provinces. Because when we were at Mbizana, Mr. Nomazele was saying that there were people from the Northern Cape, people from Gauteng, people from Limpopo, even Mpumalanga, who were there, and also Northwest, who are also who are among the ex-mine workers who are supposed to get money from the department. So I just wanted to know if those people are also there.
Yeah, no, I want to understand one thing. That the union is coming with the list of people to the Department of Labor. claiming that PEP rules are their members. For an example, are these people people that may have got injured at their workplace, let's say in 2006, but the employer did not follow the processes of registering that injury with the department, and then the person maybe lost the job after that without a proper documentation from the employer to the department for that person to be able to claim. And then that will make now the union to claim that it is working for those people. That is the first one. The second one, I want to understand in detail the politics of 1987 to 1992 claimants, you know, whether their claims are null and void because of the new legislation regime, or these people might have claimed between those years but want to reclaim again now in this new government. What are the details of this legislation?
Can we take those and come back for another round?
Thank you, Mr. President. I will actually ask Mr. Mafu and Mr. Mutiba to answer the question.
Hi, we're all the MP. The first question is a tricky one. To my understanding, the members of the union, they come in for the same case of part and the first of them. But there are people who are re-employed in other provinces of the province, come from the same Cape, but happen to be re-employed in other provinces, let's say Cape Town or KZN. They're looking for Kina Pasha. But indeed, there are other people from other provinces who have been also to submit their names to Commission on Migration, because sometimes those travel all over the country to say, I want you to organize with FMLE Casino to fight for your benefit, give you a name. So we do have people from other provinces, even those are not blended. But the bulk of these members, they come from the same team. So when people come up in Pizana, those people, they happen to get jobs in Cape Town, Devon, but they say, please, must come back, and they organize passes for them to come to the same team for that benefit. For this problem in Pizana. That's the first question. The second question, he talked about a conversation part. With the list that we are having, we have not financed those things. In terms of compensation fund, we, as a fund of paper, the function is done by revenue in terms of processes. In terms of, just related to the chair guys and the fund of paper, we are going to think through those issues, but I can say that these are all issues dating from 1976, 1980-something. We are not getting any new cases for our participants to come to the study. There are no cases. We talk about very old cases. When we request them to say we want more information, it is difficult for them to bring the alternative information. But having said that, we have requested several of months to assist in terms of trying to get the old records. And the meeting is sitting today. Hopefully, after the meeting, we may have new developments about those old cases. The third question about the 1992, my answer is, in 1996, the testing which was led by the director, Mr. Lau, assisted all those 10 cases, regardless, we never talked about saying your case, you don't qualify because of the period. We assisted all those people for Commandant Scar. By that time, the president was Mr. Mandela. There was also an announcement that also said that all those who never accept that benefit, they must come forward, work with the chiefs, with the union, or people that are part of that union, that was still part of the union. We use media registrations, we use participant leaders, everybody. And it was just all the claims, regardless of when it was last stopped working. That was the first round. The second round was 1999. He said, look, you need some other groups. We issued again the notices, people they come forward, and those who qualify to pay. Again, 2002, he said, there's no, for you people now, that's the first of the day. We did that. And also went to Pretoria bring in new listeners, it's a never done. You must recall that SYF were able to deal with all our clients instantly. Whoever comes to us at the end of the day with all the asking documents or the front documents, we're able to address the case. We either refuse or pull. It's not a question of being having a challenge of dealing with our work. It's a question of him bringing us all the claims that we don't have records of those as well. That's what I remember.
Okay.
Thank you.
If I could just get clarity on this one, I'm sure you have in a way tried to answer the question that I wanted to ask for, but I want to probe it further. You say when they come, the problem is whenever they come with a list, we assist them. Whenever they come with a list, we assist them. I understand that it's within the confines of the law, but what does that mean? That is one. Because it means that the chapter is never going to be closed. Yeah, that's the thing. The other one is, you're complaining about the behavior of the leadership. Yet the information we have is that that behavior is swaying your position, whether it's legal or it's administrative. Whenever they want something, they get it from the department. Let me make an odd example. When they sat in the union building, you gave them food parcels, you took them back home on humanitarian grounds. But that was just a very, very odd example. But whenever they pressurize you, you give in. Why? And how long is that going to continue? At what stage is the department going to say no and put the foot down? Because it means that this problem is going to reinvent itself in a million ways. Lastly, I'm going to come back to the project. Lastly, it seems as if Una Mazwele has got the niche of government, of the department. He comes to labor, mess up labor, and goes to health, mess up health, goes to social development, mess up social development, and stand on the hill and cry human rights. How far do I go to mess up department before I get discovered? Thank you.
Thank you, Sir Person. I wish to deal with the question, especially question one. As a government department, we all the time need to assist the client. Mr. Murphy is correct. When they come with the list, what we do, we go into our system. Fortunately, our systems have a database. Now, when you put an ID, it will give you the record of the employee, where the employee started to work, when they stopped to work. And fortunately, the system will also indicate that, no, this person has been paid. Or, no, this person, we don't have records. We don't know where this person is from our system. Now, when there are no records, then we face a predicament because we then cannot pay. But if we can pay, we can pay without records, then we will obviously be inviting all these qualifications. But what we do all the time is that we do find valid claims from members. And in that case, we then will be able to pay those particular claims. But I don't think we should actually not assist them, because sometimes they do come with the claims which are valid. So I think that is our mandate as a government department to always assist in all respect. But the issue of how do we actually finally say no, this we can't do, I think it's beyond us as a government department.
Maybe just to add on what Mr. Sue has said. Earlier on, I wanted to make an indication that there was an issue about the legality of the union. In terms of the law, it's not registered trade union. It's not on our books. And that's how we treat them. Precisely as to say, we would deal with them on the basis that one, they're able to reach out on the people in the community. But then at the same time, not precisely that we're giving in, but it's within the context that we had it like till to say. But we were, initially when we met them, we understood that because they are representing people, then it would be helpful to work with them so that we are able to reach out to communities. It is just unfortunate that in this relationship, then you pick up this level of behavior whereby you would have agreements, and then unfortunately when they get to the masses, the behavior changes. So our view is that because we have a record, we can always discuss any illegitimate thing.
Okay. You have a relationship, taken from what you are saying, with the person that you have detected not to be reliable. That one is debated less. With the question that you have observed to be cashing on the vulnerability of the people, especially senior citizens, how long are you going to maintain this relationship with this particular person who has an organization that has not been legally constituted?
Kongi, do you want to let him?
Okay. Yeah, no, I wanted to enter that because I wrote this. Because, one, I wanted maybe Mr. Mapu to help us. Because he's directly from the Eastern Cape and he has been interacting with this organization. In your observation, is this a credible organization? Is this an organization that a government can respond to it in a manner that you can respond to any credible organization in South Africa with the aim of building our own country? The second one is that I understand in terms of your mandate that you need to help people as part of your mandate. But don't you assist, help Mr. Mafu to go deep down into the pockets of these people? For example, if they are coming with a list of people to your department, you manage to help them, they are 10, you transfer their monies to their banks, and Mr. Novazen is having a transport, is transporting them and taking 100 grand orders. You see, I'm just thinking about the whole situation. You see, in terms of the mandate of the department, you need to help. But the issue, aren't you helping in your own assessment a possible sex force?
Ain't you bringing that down with your humanitarian approach? Humanitarian in those.
For example, I do not think that the union is a credible one. I do not think the union respects laws of the country as a present language. For example, but every time I try to explain the laws, cannot tell you. They promised to march to Parliament to say that civil servant we could call the Georgian official. The reason that they left for Pretoria is that as a province, you assisted them. She said every man has supported to me as a manager in the province to assist. We've assisted them. And also writing a letter to each particular claimant to say, this is just kind of application. We have done that. Instead, they left for Pretoria. And again, they were in Pizana. They never expected to see me in Pizana. They made the presentation. I also stated the second and second terms of federal system as a manager in the government. They agreed that every other flavor will play their part. But that was the view that the issue is political. Somehow, they need local intervention. And also the question of amending the law. My question to the province, we don't amend the law. Whatever comes to us for services, we apply the law. That's the end of the story. The question of abusing people, yes, indeed, the union is cashing in and abusing the vulnerable people. In 2002, the ex-member of the Honorable Mr. Tofile, he started police to arrest me. And they were arrested because they were charging a person for each person looking for the government services.
How much?
$400. People had resisted and he is making money too. I do not think it's a result of people hack because if you assist people, you need to understand or to begin to interpret the laws of the country. Say, look, this is the law. I can help you, but I can't help because of the law.
I think members, let them just finish that those critical questions. Because now I want to know how long is this money going to be maintained?
Okay, all members, put us to order.
Chair, I think we are now discussing the quasi scorpionship. Because the gentleman of the relating story, it's clear that there is the gentleman in question is not somebody can laugh on. And besides that, Colonel Sophia Sampey is threatening to call the police for him. It shows how incredible that gentleman is. I think we can't sit here and discuss it. I think we should leave it with them. They must take it to the police. Those who are through with the mine workers are questioning. I don't think that we should take the whole affair and discuss it, but the police should be
doing it. Well, remember, Charlie, you are correct. We are not going to get into the nitty-gritties of how he is interacting with the department, but it's key that the department should answer. How long are you going to be keeping this relationship with this person? I'm very much keen, because it would tell us when we are giving a report to Parliament, we would say, if you say so, Labour Department is reflective of how they observe the behavior of this man, is determined to work with him. You see, I need to get an answer as to how long are you going to be interacting with this enigmatic somebody.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I want to state that as a department, we will continue to assist those people that need assistance in line with our laws. We need to give a hearing to people when they come to our doorstep. And those who are not qualifying in terms of their claim they put to us, they will be told.
I think Mr. Mapo has indicated that in the long list that we have received, those who qualify have been paid, those who don't qualify, have been issued with letters telling them that though their applications are not successful. And I think there's the danger in terms of us saying we will never interact with the group. Because I think in the history that Mr. Mapo and Mr. Motiva has given is that we have those who have also qualified, but we couldn't trace them. When we went to villages, visiting villages, trying to also publicize in terms of them coming forward. So if we close the door, I think we might we might be excluding people which might have a legitimate claim. But the leader, I think it has been stated clearly here, that the leader is really a person which no government department should be interacting with.
Okay, I was to write a report. I was to write a report. Do you have something before we close off?
Do you have something else to say? Just to clarify that we as a department of labor, we also participate as one department. There is actually a bigger convener to this particular process. I think we need to mention that when they went to the union building, there was a task team which constituted with people from the president, where then we are being invited to say, here are the people, can you come and assist them? It is in that regard that you also go there. And some of the things that we are doing are some of the resolutions that are taken by not the Department of Labor, but all the departments which have been involved in that particular case. I'll mention an example. In Bizana, where we were called by Parliament, so when we are called, then we have to go and interact. And the resolution that's taken to say, can you go further and assist this particular people? I agree with Diana that maybe we need to talk about the leader himself to say, what do we do with the leader? But if people come to the department for assistance, I think we should actually assist.
Thank you very much. So, do I hear you correctly when you are saying the bigger convener is the president? Okay. The department should understand the committee to be wanting to protect parliament and democracy. There's no way that we can have departments that are not of assistance to the electorate. We would not be doing it. But there is no way, as committees established by Parliament, that we can allow departments to allow certain figures to play as this particular figure does. That one is not going to be allowed. And that is why we have committees in Parliament, to play that particular oversight role, to see to it that government departments are not taken for a ride. It is in that context. I think the earlier explanation had that a department cannot shut its door against the citizens. There's no way. But you, on your assessment, know the type of citizens that the department should be dealing with. You can't deal with someone who, whenever coming into your office, would leave with a cup of, with a cup or with a pen or with a whatever, who would steal something or take something. You would not deal with that person. At one stage, you would say, you won't enter that job because I know once you come in, something is the going to happen in this office. I think that is the context with which we are trying to investigate this matter as this ad hoc committee. And the report that we are going to be giving to Parliament is going to take into account everything of substance that we have talked about here. I think that is the situation. Number, I think we need to relieve the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Okay.
If we can remain for 2 minutes, member. Just 2 minutes.
Yes.
2 minutes after the event. I think we have had the two departments, and you know, as we go on with these briefings or presentations, the story becomes clearer. Because when we started, we didn't know where to start. We didn't know where this thing started. And after each presentation, we get to know who to hear from. I just want to poke your brains, members, including our legal advisor. Who do you think is the next person that we should hear from this matter? And I'm sure in our next meeting we need to debate or we need to discuss about the road travel and what does it say, the content that it gives to this responsibility. And that is in preparation for our report on the 22nd. Yeah. Before we get everything from whoever who are going to be deciding about it. There's presidency. There's social development. There's NUM and the Chamber of Mines.
Minerals.
Yeah, it was suggested that minerals were made. Which of those in the basket do we think we should be invited?
Next week, on Tuesday and Wednesday. First on Tuesday we have Zoom, and on Wednesday we have the Chamber of Mines. I had not thought about when before center of the Northern Table in terms of when to have minerals and possibly but there's also the data of, you know, also tracking out the, you know, like the meetings, you know, and there's very little time between, like, you know, like meetings and the actual reporting, you know, the
meetings. It doesn't mean, members, we will have to invite all these stakeholders that we're talking about. We can reduce them to two or three.
depending on the type of information that we would want to get to conclude the matter.
Chairperson, I think we agree mostly that we don't need physical presentation from the president. We said we just need written explanation or report about the matter, and then members could read it for themselves. I don't think there is a logic for us now to reach general community, because the center here was the Department of Health. Because even if people were injured in their minds, but they meet with health, so the information goes to health. So I'm going to receive the very same information. So I will request that maybe we cut out mineral elimination, because we must have our own meeting of analyzing all the reports, and we must process the report going to be done, and we must give people to assess the report, the time period, and then we must come back to us to verify that.
So the stakeholders that we're talking about now, there are two.
NUM and the Chamber of Mines. And then just that note from the president. And thereafter, then, as a committee, we deliberate on the submission, we take you to compile that report. Okay, I think that's it.
Another thing, Chairperson, I forgot to ask this question. This is a formal report that we received from the Department of Labor. And this report is saying report on government interventions in assisting the ex-mine workers of South Africa, TTY Limited. I just wanted to raise it, I just forgot to raise it on the idea.
Yes, they said yes. That this is a team
we'll get when we're discussing all these reports. It's a pity that we didn't hear from them about this question. But I think that brings us to a close of business for the other committee. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
all right.
Doing that to give legitimacy to the body, but acknowledging the body.
Right.
If you invite the body to make a submission, you acknowledge the body as a representative. So you should think about that.
No, they are saying we should ask the Department of Labor to explain in writing. To explain in writing what they meant by that.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Thank you.